couple of months ago, I guess it's about 4 months ago, I journeyed back to my birthplace in Big Stone Gap, Virginia. Yes, it's a small coal mining town built in a valley surrounded on both sides by the Cumberland Mountains. The mountains are so steep, where I was growing up, part of my life, where I was born, that the sun usually didn't reach into the valley until about 10 in the morning, usually a heavy fog in the morning too. Most all of the residents there at one time or another were affiliated with the mines, the coal mines. My grandfather spent most of his life as a miner, and it wasn't a very glamorous job, but it was a living, as most of the people there were in the mines. I, as usual, drove by the house that my grandfather built for my parents when they were first married. And that's the place where I was born, December the 15th of 1947. I gaze at that house as I drive by, and I ponder my beginnings. This is where it all began for me, some 31 years ago. As I revisit my beginnings, Patty and I always go and we buy some flowers to place on my grandparents' graves. The setting for the cemetery is absolutely beautiful, so peaceful and serene. And as I stand there in front of that tombstone, remembering with great love and admiration for these two people that played such a big part in the foundation of my life. The love, the happiness, the laughter, the support, the honesty, the hard work, the importance of family, and their faith in God. I stand there and I read those words written on the tombstone, and it just says simply, "Beyond the sunset," with a couple arm in arm looking towards the sunset. And then it has the dates of their birth and their death. That was the whole of their lives. They lived from point A to point B. They can neither add or take away from their existence on this earth. There are no do-overs. All we can do is remember their existence. And if we were to look closely, we would see a small mark separating the year of their birth and the year of their death. That small horizontal mark is called the dash, and we're all familiar with it. What you do with that dash is called life. It represents life. And all of humanity will eventually have a dash from point A to point B. Take your Bibles and turn over to Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. We're all familiar, 1-8. We're all familiar with this. And I'm not going to read every single verse of it. But it starts out by saying, everything has its time. Everything. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And it says, a time to be born and a time to die. We will all face this. Solomon's saying that we all have a start and we all have an end. But the rest of this chapter talks about what happens between the start and the end, our birth and our death. And I'm not going to read all of this, like I said, but I will read. It says, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. These verses tell us about the emotions that we as humans will feel as we experience life. And I know most of us have experienced a lot of these. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, in a short summary, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." So we see that we all are going to die at some time or another. Well, my focus today is not on death, but it's on that dash that composes what happens between birth and death. For most of us sitting here, we have a different perspective or a different position than most of the world as to what that or what we're going to do with that dash. We have been given a rare opportunity in the world to have our eyes open to understand the great plan of God, which so many don't. The repentance from our old ways, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, and our march to the kingdom of God. But the first thing we need to realize is that this life is short. Our dash really isn't all that long in all of history. And I'll read these short phrases. You can write them down. You don't have to look to every one of them. 1 Peter 1:24 says, "For all flesh, all humanity, is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall." Psalm 39:4 says, "O Lord, make me to know my end and what's the measure of my days." Think about the length of your days. "And let me know how fleeting I am." Job 8:9 says, "For we are only of yesterday and know nothing, because our days on earth are as a shadow." Psalm 79:39 says, "Thus he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and does not return." James 4:14 says, "Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away." We all know what that was like when we were kids. We'd be out on the, come a thunderstorm on the asphalt out in the road, and you'd see that vapor of moisture as it was leaving, and then it was soon gone. It was dried up and gone. Psalm 102, verse 11, it says, "My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass." Short life. Job 8:25 says, "My days are swifter than a runner. They pass like swift ships, like an eagle swooping on its prey." All of these go by pretty fast. I presume that most of us can relate to these thoughts about the brevity of life, especially us that are older. Even the young may think they are immortal, but we'll soon find out how brief life is. I know when I was young, I couldn't wrap my head around this idea of growing old. I felt so energetic and healthy, and I even had muscles at one time. Man is born, he lives, and he dies. And the living, the time between the birth and your demise, that dash, is so short. As quickly as smoke or vapor dissipates, as grass or flowers spring up and fade away, as a shadow lengthens and then disappears, so it is with the span of our lives. Life is given and life is taken. We are here today, and we're gone tomorrow. Well, what should we be doing with this dash or this time on earth since it is so short? And I think we all have a pretty good answer to that. But in Psalms 90:12, one of the things that it says It says, so teach us to number our days. Realize we're not going to be here forever. That we may gain a heart of wisdom. Wisdom. Well, wisdom, the definition is defined as the ability to make good judgments based on what you have learned from your experiences or the knowledge and understanding that gives you this ability. Wisdom. The book of Proverbs has more to say about wisdom than any other book in the Bible. For example, in Proverbs 9:10, Solomon, who was the wisest man on earth, at least until Jesus Christ came, said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. These are things that we need to be learning and practicing now. James 1:5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Having wisdom is a key essential to this life and service to God. Another aspect would be bearing fruit. As Christians, we must be doing that. We can't say, well, I feel like I'm good enough, or I've done enough in this life. I think I'm just going to sit back and coast for a while. I think I got it made. Or I'm tired and I just want to rest. Or I've heard all of this stuff over and over before. No. Colossians 1:10. It tells us, says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We never in this life will reach perfection, but we must continually keep marching forward, bearing fruit. 2 Timothy 3:18, it says, and we're all familiar with this, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When we are growing, we are bearing fruit. A Christian cannot sit still. And we're all familiar with Galatians 5:22. But I want to just read the whole thing here. Get the whole context. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is what we're going to have in that dash as Christians, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. We have repented. We have changed. With its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, a day-to-day life of walking in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. If we really want to sum up what we should be doing with that dash in our lives, it's probably summed up in one of the most familiar scriptures we have, Matthew 6, 33, where it says, but seek ye first, above all else, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. First, seek you the kingdom of God. You know, in the Ten Commandments, the first commandment, Exodus 23, it says, you shall have no other gods before me. In this life, we can allow a lot of things. We shouldn't, but we can allow a lot of things to have that dash cluttered with other gods. And I hope we realize the importance of that, that God comes first and foremost in everything we do. In Matthew 22:37, along the same lines, it says, "And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your heart, and all of your soul, and all of your mind." Verse 38 says, "This is great and the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Well, these are some of the requirements of a Christian's life well lived. What we need to be putting in that dash. If you keep control of your priorities, placing God above all else, and it's not easy, especially living in our fast-paced world, trying to meet all of life's demands. If we keep your priorities in order, you truly will be spending your dash well. Not long ago, I guess about 4 months ago too, I went to a Jewish cemetery. First time, it was in Rome, Georgia, which I thought was a little unusual to have a Jewish cemetery there, but there was, and it was a rather large one. And as I walked through the gravestones, I always like to read the epitaphs that are written on these tombstones. What that dash represented in that person's life, or what people remembered them for. And one said, "Our devoted father, an honored citizen who in all his private life, no one doubted he would do his duty and keep his word." It's pretty honorable. Another one was just a simple quote, "A teacher of life." That was it. Teacher of life. Another said, "A good father, a kind, gentle man who made a multitude of friends in all walks of life." Another one said, and I found this one rather humorous, it just had the name of the woman, her birth date, her death, and the quote below it, "I told you I was sick." That was it. Years ago, I never forgot this. I was in Cades Cove, Tennessee. And I was at a little church, and I walked behind to read the tombstones again. And I found this one rather strange. It said, "Here lies John Doe, a horse rustler, shot to death while stealing horses in town, got what he deserved." That was it. Not the best way to remember someone by. Well, I was curious what the late Billy Graham's tombstone would say on it. And Billy Graham himself said he only wanted one thing on his tombstone, and that was the word preacher. That's all he wanted on it. Well, when he passed, the family, I guess, decided to add a few more words to it. And it says, "Billy Graham, preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." I went on to research what the founder of our church in this age, Herbert W. Armstrong's tombstone, would say. Does anybody know what it says? It says, "Herbert W. Armstrong," and underneath his name, it says, "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." That's what his tombstone has on it. That's 1 Corinthians 15. And on the tombstone that laid at the foot of Mr. Armstrong's grave was the date of his birth. It was 1892 was when Mr. Armstrong was born. Mr. Armstrong died in 1986. But what I found unusual about it, the dash between those two dates was one of the longest dashes. It was like 6 inches long. And I'm just curious. I've never seen anything that long, but maybe it was symbolic of a long life filled with his endeavors to preach the gospel of Christ to the world. He did a lot. Well, what else do we need to be adding to that dash as we live this life? Well, we need to add a sense of urgency. Sense of urgency to our dash. Now, obviously, none of us here has the dash, I hope not, added to our lives yet. Some of us may look like we've passed on. Anyway, if we are striving to follow Jesus Christ as he followed God's instructions, in John 9:4, we are given a warning by Jesus Christ. And he says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. For us, that's death. It's day for us right now. Jesus Christ recognized that his time on earth was short, just as we should realize the same. He felt a sense of urgency to get the work of God completed. Do we have that same sense of urgency? He also shares the importance of getting that work done with his disciples. And we are his disciples. Many of us have all sorts of distractions crowded into our lives. I know how easy it is. Some of these distractions seem important to us. Others we recognize as insignificant intrusions that take away from our service to God. The real question, however, is this. How well we are doing with placing God's priorities first in our lives, regardless of the sense of urgency. Do we feel a sense of urgency to get God's work done? Do we feel that? Look at the world we live in right now. Look at what's going on every single day. We can't allow our minds to focus on all these other things that distract us from doing God's work. As short as life is, we do find some ways that God says our lives can be increased. First, we need to look at what he's offered in longevity. We find in Psalms 90:10, it says, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years. 70 years. Or if due to strength, 80 years. And it goes on to say, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone and we fly away. Life is short. We die. As a side note, it is interesting. It was interesting to me to note that King David was made king of Israel at the age of 30 years. He was 30 years old. And he served as king for 40 years. When he died at the age of 70. 70 years old, exactly what was prophesied there. Proverbs 9:11 says, for by me your days will be multiplied, and your years will be added to your life. Follow God. He says, added to your life. Exodus 20:12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Ephesians 6:2-3 is the same thing pretty much. It says, honor your father and mother, and this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long in the land. We find in Proverbs 10:27, it says, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. The word fear, the fear of the Lord, is a state of mind that you're in which one's own attitudes and your will and your feelings and your deeds and your goals are all exchanged for God's. A healthy mind. But you notice what the rest of that said? But the years of the wicked will be short. You know, we've all known those people who have lived their life on the edge. I see them driving up the Palmetto as we come here, and they're all living on the edge. People with no wisdom or common sense, no fruits of the Spirit, and no honor for anyone. You know, I had an uncle. I was a kid at the time, but I had an uncle who was like this. He was always fighting and in trouble all the time. He was stabbed to death in a barroom fight in his late 30s. His tombstone sits right across the street from my grandparents. Two different lives, one well lived and one wasted. Deuteronomy 5:33. It says, "You shall walk in all the ways that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live." But notice what else. "And that it may go well with you, and that you may live long on the land that you shall possess." Long on the land. As I look at all of you, I can see that a fair amount of us have surpassed that 70. I have, and I suppose that some would say, I'm now living on borrowed time. But I also know that God can extend our time, as I just read in the scriptures there. I was watching the morning news this week, and maybe some of you saw the same thing I did. And it was on the Today Show. And they had a well-known TV doctor. And he was talking about how we can prolong or shorten our lives in doing certain things. He said that a bad diet will reduce our lives by 13 years. A bad diet. I think we all know fast food and all of those things. I also read another article that said if we eat, now, take this with a grain of salt, but it says that if we eat fried chicken 3 times a week, it will reduce our lifespan by another 12 years. But what is I just as another side note, I also read that the people in Spain, they can have fried chicken 3 times a week, and it doesn't affect their life because they do it in olive oil. The doctor went on to say that stress can reduce our lives by another 6 years, and that high blood pressure will reduce our lives by another 11 years. So we really need to take care of these bodies, and I know I'm living on borrowed time right there. He doesn't say anything, or at least I didn't catch it, about exercise and rest, sleep. The older you get, the more you need these things. Look what David said. He said in Psalm 139:14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Do you ever think about these bodies that we walk around in? All the things they can do, how they even function. It's so intricate, your sight, your hearing. "Marvelous are your works that my soul knows right well." Yes, these bodies are ours, and they're amazing, but we have a responsibility to take care of them. 1 Corinthians 6:19, where it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you?" These physical bodies we walk around in, whom you have been given from God. "You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, and glorify God in your body." God expects us to take care of our bodies as well as our spiritual well-being. You sitting here don't have a dash added to our names. Yet whether you're young or old, let's do all we can with what time we have left, no matter how long it is, to make our salvation assured. Do your best, give your all in service to our great God. That thing called life is sometimes summed up in the words we find in the Bible in several places as a life of a pilgrim. Last week, I listened to a TED Talks. I don't know if any of you listen to some of these, but and the speaker was giving the presentation, was expressing the final thoughts of some of his patients where he was a doctor at a private end-of-life facility. And as I listened to this man, he said it was so hard to hear him say that some of his patients said at the end of their lives. He said some patients were repulsed, that's his very words, repulsed by the lives that they had lived. How they had spent their dash, their time on this earth, doing ugly things. Not a legacy to be content with, especially not knowing what would come after death, if they even believed in a hereafter. For us, if we've used that dash to the best of our abilities, with God's help, we will not be repulsed at the life that we have lived. We're far from that. Christ's sacrifice allows us to be washed clean and forgiven daily. In Colossians 1, starting at verse 21, we find a very, very, at least I think it's a very powerful scripture written in the Bible. It says, once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through his death to present us holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusations. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope that has held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. That is amazing scripture right there. Hebrews 11:13. We're all familiar with this one too. All these died in faith without receiving the promise, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed they were strangers and exiles on this earth. They felt like pilgrims passing through this life. Sometimes we may feel that way too, and that's good. Yet dedicated to the vision of a better life. Well, brethren, this is not our final destination. This life prepares us for the one to come, eternal life. Our life must be devoted to God, who will grant everlasting life, where there will never be another dash added after our spiritual change into the family of God.